Morning. It's a joy to be here with you all today. I am grateful for this opportunity to share and reflect together on our journey. Today, I will be talking on the topic Living in a World of Grace. Among the Dharma friends gathered here today, each of you have learned something from One Buddhism's teachings that you found particularly memorable. If so, please feel free to share it with us. But for me, could you keep it to just a few words? Grace? Dedication.
Becoming a more aware of awareness.
Good. Thank you for all the responses. It seems that some of you have picked up on the same point that I found impressive on Buddhism. In Buddhism, all things in this world are seen as suffering, or dukkha in Sanskrit. The Shakyamuni Buddha showed the path to liberation for all sentient beings who suffer from attachment to desires, so that they can be reborn as truly free beings. Christianity teaches the same message. All people in this world are born original sins. But Jesus loved everyone and took upon himself the sins of all. Therefore, we are called to love and everyone and give to everyone just as Jesus did, and to repent of our sins. The founding master Sutta-san realized the truth and presented the essence of One Buddhism and the direction we should take in the world with a single word: grace. I really like the founding master Sutta-san's perspective of seeing the world as grace. Everything in this world is grace. Isn't that a wonderful saying? The words of founding master Sutta-san resonated deeply with me. We are always living within the grace of the fourfold grace, and thus we ought to live our life repaying the grace by our actions. I want to live my life practicing these teachings. However, I've come to realize that in real life, feeling grace and repaying the grace is more challenging than I thought. Initially, I struggled to recognize things as grace. There were times I felt the grace, but occasionally, things didn't feel like grace at all. And therefore, my practice of repaying the grace was not always carried through. This led me to ponder how we can better guide by the grace of the fourfold grace in our daily lives. Through my past experiences and teaching of One Buddhism, I was able to clearly understand the problem. I once met a woman who was completely incompatible with me. To others, she was kinder, more benevolent and warmer than anyone else, but not to me. She did suffer about my actions and made no effort to hide her feelings towards me. I felt ignored and disrespected by her. Her cold expressions and slightly dismissive attitude angered me. As someone who was just beginning to practice and had many dreams of spreading the practice. My dream seemed to vanish like a bubble due to this interaction. Whenever I saw her, my heart was darkened, and I didn't know how to recover it. Then, one day, I developed social anxiety and intuitively knew I had to distance myself from her. So I left. When my body and mind were both exhausted, I met another wonderful woman. However, having been deeply hurt by the first woman, I was far from normal. It felt as though I was looking at the world with distrust, like a stray dog, abandoned one on the street. Although the new woman approached to me with good intentions, I was full of doubt and wondered about her motive. Why is she being nice to me? Is she only nice to my face, but speaks ill behind my back? Thus, I kept my distance from her. This state of mind led me to wonder more, and living among people, I never felt the sense of belonging with them. Instead, it felt like the darkness in my heart was deepening. Despite that, the kind woman showed me warmth until the very end. It seemed like she was trying her best to open my heart. She offered thoughtful words and took great care of my feelings. One day, when I appeared uneasy and unstable, she gave me advice that helped me regain my composure. Spending 3 years like this, I slowly felt my anxiousness and distrustful heart beginning to heal. And from this, I gained a small enlightenment. I realized that in a similar situation, the same words coming to me can be entirely different, depending on the state of my heart. If my heart is prepared to accept the word with grace, then everything that comes my way is grace. But if I reject and doubt, then it no longer approaches me as grace. Everything in this world is determined by one's own mind. In Buddhism, this is referred to as all things are created by the mind. To feel grace, one's mind must be prepared to perceive grace. And what state of mind is best suited to feel grace? It's when one's mind is in its natural state of calm and tranquility. It might seem trivial, but through this small enlightenment, I do my best to keep my mind calm and peaceful. Among the methods I've found most effective in being peaceful is the Dharma of resting in the elixir field, dungeon. Elucidated by founding master Sotesan in the Dharma of sitting meditation of the scriptures. When there is a disturbance, laying aside all emotions and judgments for a moment, and focusing one's mind on the dungeon, works like magic, bringing tranquility and stability to a messy mind. Today, before the Dharma talk, we read about the method of sitting meditation and practice it. What are you gaining through sitting meditation? I believe that sitting meditation is a practice of regaining control over one's mind. When we encounter something that disturbs our peace, we often lose control of our mind. Our minds run wild without our consent or control, like a monkey mind. When we look at our unruly monkey mind and become able to control our own mind, we may regret our actions. We think things like, "Oh, why did I do that? Oh, such a fool I am. I shouldn't have done that." In moments when you feel like you are losing control of your mind, try focusing all your attention on your dandan, just as you do during sitting meditation. You will surely regain control over your mind. Concentrating your mind on the dandan and breathing calmly will settle your unfocused thoughts and gradually bring them to a halt, and you will encounter moments of clarity, just like how the Catskill Mountains appear crisp and clear after a rain shower. Without judgment and until the tumult calms, simply wait while focusing all your attention on the dandan. Since disturbance is not everlasting, you will eventually find your mind returning to its true nature, and that mind is best suited to feeling grace. The heart best suited to feeling grace will prompt you to actively repaying that grace. The founding method of Tesan called this the act of repaying grace. Imagine the state of when you feel calm, peaceful, and as though you have a Buddha's mind. You will naturally become more gracious. I think this generosity closely resembles the universe itself. With that generosity, spread grace to those you meet and act on the endless grace you've received from the universe. Ultimately, an enlightened person is one who gives back as much as they've received. Even if you don't feel grace in certain situations, continuing gracious actions will eventually brighten and clear your mind. Gracious actions will connect us to a world of grace. I recently watched the travel vlog on YouTube. The YouTuber went to a restaurant in Paris, France, to have a meal. The restaurant staff was very unfriendly. She tossed the menu at him and didn't come to take his order for 30 minutes. She also got the order wrong and failed to bring the correct food. Other customers around him were also becoming upset with the situation. What would you do if you are in that situation? Would you blame the staff member for not being professional and tell her to do her job properly? Or would you try to understand and be patient with the server? I imagine what I would do. Given my usual personality, I would think the server must not be familiar with her job yet. There must be a reason for it. and I would have been patient. However, the YouTuber handled the situation in a way I had never thought of. He dealt with the situation with a relaxed smile and humor. He left more in the situation, had a pleasant conversation with the customers at the next table, showed consideration for the server, and made the moment enjoyable with comic actions. As a result, the server also regained her smile and paid more attention to the YouTuber's table, leading to a happy meal for both parties. The YouTuber's behavior was very refreshing, and it made me want to handle similar situations humorously in the future. Like the anecdote above, I think that performing the act of repaying grace means creating grace. Whenever I find myself in a situation of grace or not, grace is generated through my actions. Instead of viewing the world centered around myself, looking at both the world and myself as one great grace. This fosters a compassionate Buddha mind in everyone. The act of repaying grace is about creating graciousness in our interactions with others through our actions. Sometimes, our clumsy actions may unfortunately lead us in the wrong direction. It's regrettable when an uncomfortable situation happens and it can feel quite unjust. In those moments, I reflect on whenever my actions were for myself or for others, ensuring the other person feels grace is more important than I believe I've done a good deed. The founding mentor, Tessan, spoke about morality, saying that morality is spoken of in Korean as two characters, Do and Da. He explained that Do signifies the manner in which to appropriately conduct oneself in any and all circumstances. This is in accordance with the truth of our original nature, and Da signifies the manifestation of grace in any place and in any matters. Feeling deeply the grace of the fourfold grace in our hearts, let us create grace through our actions. Make our surroundings gracious and beautify the world, so that morality is well actualized. May we all strive to become practitioners who work towards this goal. Thank you.